Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having Early Jackson, who is a life coach, and we're going to talk about his book, Groom for Greatness, 31 Days to Empower Life. If you'd like to speak with him, please call in at 347-324-3460. Again, it's 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room and I'll read it on the air. Well, good morning, Early.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Fine and dandy. Thank you for joining the program today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always excited to talk about the different things that can really help push people's businesses and their lives to the next level. That's always a great topic to talk about.
Great. So to begin with, tell us about yourself. How did you get started?
Wow. That's always a loaded question, Tim. But what I find, and I'm sure working in the business world and talking with different professionals like myself, my story isn't that different in that I found what I should be doing by having some misfortunes in what I shouldn't be doing. I had a lot of situations that kind of the pain helped navigate me through and into discovering my purpose, which was helping people. I came from an average background. Unfortunately, my father had left when I was younger, so there was some issues about worthiness and understanding my true potential when I was younger. Went through a stint in the military, became a leader there, and ended up in Philadelphia back in '92, and that's when I really began to discover that hey, there's something bigger than me out there. That wants me to do more, and started working within a local church, and really found out that although I wasn't that athletic and can't sing worth anything and don't play any instruments, my art or my gift to the world was my ability to motivate people and speak. And once I got on stage and did a little presentation, once I was kind of hooked.
Wow. So out of all of that, so you're coming through the military, that kind of give you a layer of foundation. Tell us what the experience is like in helping you to become a life coach, because it gave you a particular layer, and then church gave you another layer. Kind of tell us about how you got between those two things. How did they help you to be who you are?
Great. Yeah, exactly. Tim, what happened was at some point I actually began to discover what purpose and success meant to me. Now, that sounds like a real simple thing, but when you think about it from a standpoint of an infant is born, we name it, and with that name, we give it certain characteristics. So you know, when you were born, they looked at you, and they said, oh, he's so cute, look at his nose, we're going to call him Tim. Now, at that point, you have no self-awareness at all. You're just existing. But through the process of time and the environment you're in feeds your self-awareness. So you begin to take on the traits, the characteristics, and the personalities of the environment around you. So after a while, you begin to answer to Tim. You still don't know what a Tim is, but you're answering to it. And then all of a sudden, people start saying, wow, Tim's going to be a doctor. No, Tim's going to work with his hands. Look at the way he builds those building blocks. And they superimpose a purpose on you. And unfortunately, we usually have to go through a stripping down process. Because all that we think success is and all that we think ambition is really what people have told us what we should do. And usually it's the divine connection of trouble and trials that strip away that kind of drain that dross off of us that we begin to discover, hey, I'm doing a bunch of stuff that I don't really love. So when I was in the military, one thing I learned is that you have to learn to follow instructions. And before you're kind of promoted or worthy to give instructions, you have to be a person that can at least follow instructions. What I learned through my experiences as a leader in a church was that people don't wake up one day and say, that's it, I want to be a failure for the rest of my life. People usually aren't winning because they don't know why they're losing. So all those things just kind of helped me discover all these truths about myself. And the more, instead of going outward for success, I began to look inward. And the more authentic and transparent I got, the more I was able to express what was really on the inside of me.
That transparency itself, how does that really feel, if that makes sense? Because you have to open yourself up to people to make them feel comfortable that you are transparent and you've been honest and sincere with people. How do you convey that to the people that they can feel, okay, this person is bringing everything they have, and they're showing, he's showing himself to us in a different way that kind of inspire us, if that makes sense?
That does make sense, Tim.
Okay.
And I'll start at the very first portion of what you asked was, how does that feel?
Mm-hmm.
I think transparency is one of the most wonderful, exhilarating, scary feelings you could ever experience in your life, because some things happen pre-transparency. You begin to be okay with you, which means
mm-hmm.
you not only have a healthy understanding of your strengths, but you embrace your weaknesses, which is something a lot of us haven't really done. And our businesses can't really move forward until we embrace what we're good at and what we're not good at. Because it's often not an absence of talent, it's an absence of purpose. We're not good at things because some things we're not good at because we aren't supposed to be. So once we reconcile those thoughts within us and say, hey, you know what, I'm cool just like I am. You know, I'm not, if you've ever seen me, I'm not the tallest guy you'll ever meet. You know, I'm only 5'6", and I claim a quarter in there just to make it sound good. So I'm 5'6" and a quarter, you know, but I'm not supposed to be tall. Because if I was, I would have been taller. So I can't stand here and say, I can't stand there and spend the rest of my life talking about what I can't do because I'm not taller. I need to find out what my skill sets are. Once I own those, they're mine. And I can't be anybody else. And I heard a quote once that say, why die a carbon copy when you were born to be a stunning original? So,
wow.
I embraced all the things that I was and all the things that I was not. Then I open that up and let people know, hey, it's okay to be you. One of the most empowering things we can do, Tim, is live our lives on purpose. Because what that does is it secretly gives other people around us permission to pursue their dreams. People on earth are literally standing around waiting to see who's going to do it first. And when you start doing it, it releases. It's like there's this invisible lock that falls off of people. These shackles begin to come off because they say, hey, if Tim is living his dreams, he stepped out, he started a radio show, maybe I can start my Tupperware business, you know, or whatever it is, you know. But people tend to wait until they see someone else doing something to spark some type of ambition in them.
Wow. So thinking about that, you know, I don't know if you heard of T.D. Jakes, and he's a minister out of Dallas. And
oh, yes.
He started, ironically, this is, believe it or not, today's show is almost about purpose, passion, and provision. And he made an address on New Year's Eve about purpose, provision, and passion. And it went so well with him, he said, I have to talk about this for the next 3 weeks. Then all of a sudden you saw, like, this past weekend, he was featured on Oprah's show
mm-hmm.
on Sunday night. Then he did a 2-hour masterclass in St. Louis on Monday, talking about the same things, that you had to have your purpose, you have a vision, and you have to have passion for it. But one of the things about your purpose, a lot of people just can't discern what their purpose, what is it? You know, you walk through life in a fog, and you might be lucky enough to pick it up like an 18-year-old like Bill Gates. Hey, this is my purpose. You know, Tina Turner had her purpose, and she had her career, and all of a sudden, when she turned middle-aged like Bonnie Raitt, then they had another revelation happening.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just walk in the fog until sometimes they don't get their purpose revealed to them until they're 60 years old. How can a person really sit there and discern what is their purpose?
Well, I think what's happening, and I did catch Bishop Jakes, and I followed him since he was in West Virginia. I mean, he's a phenomenal speaker whose voice in it, just by itself commands your attention. But, you know, he's awesome because he has something to say when he gets your attention, too. One of the things that I feel is going to help a lot, millions of people discover their purpose, is just having the conversation about it. Before, purpose was this mysterious thing that you talked about on the weekends when you're sharing your bucket list. But Monday morning, 9 to 5, you know, you better get in there and punch your clock and make a living. I don't believe purpose is all about making a living, because making a living is just minimum. That's the bare minimum of what we can do. So having these conversations and seeing this curiosity in people all across all ethnicities and all religions, everyone's hungry for something more. I believe there's a divine shift in that. You know, but when we start really, when I sit down with a client, Tim, and try to help them discover their purpose, we eliminate all the big stuff first. You know, curing cancer, you know, relieving poverty around the world. Those are great ambitions, but purpose is often that one thing that's gnawing at you. It's kind of like having that, you know, you put on your shoes and you walk, and you're like, wait, something's not right. There's a rock in here or something. It's that little thing that keeps you limping a little that's irritating you, that causes you to stop and take notice. Those are the signposts to our purpose that we can discover. And then I tell something very simple. I tell clients, sit down and write a list. What hurts you and what makes you angry? If you can answer those two questions, you're going to discover your purpose, because often our purpose is hidden. It's covered in the things that irritate us, because those are God's way of getting our attention. You can't discover your purpose until your attention has been captivated. And it's kind of like you're chasing something until eventually it grabs you. So you're trying to apprehend it. Now, you couldn't let it go if you want to, because it has a hold on you. That's when you're walking in your purpose.
Wow. That's amazing. Kind of tell us, what is a life coach? A lot of people have heard about it, but we just don't know. I know what it is, but a lot of people just say, okay, what is a life coach?
I love that question. I love that question in Starbucks, too, Tim, when someone says, oh, what are you doing? I say, I'm a coach. I'm a life coach. And they look at me, and the first thing they heard, all they heard was coach. And they're saying, okay, this guy's 5'6". He must be a wrestling coach, because there's no way he could be a football coach. Well, it's just that. It's a coach. What I discovered when I got into coaching, Tim, was I was already doing it. I just called it something else, which is usually how we discover our purpose. You know, Bill Gates was always in the computer room. He was always in that, and this is when they had the big, you know, mainframes and, you know, printers with the big dot matrix things or whatever. But he always found himself there. He didn't call it computer programming. They had another name for it. So often we're operating to some degree in our purpose. As a pastor, I worked with people, I coached them, I was there, you know, when they got married, I was there when their family members died, I was there when their children were born and we christened them. So I was helping people navigate their lives. It was just under a different name. I worked for the University of Phoenix, I was in their training department. So I was already coaching, and through a situation, my wife and I had gotten to a really bad accident, and I had to take a couple of months off work to rehab. And we were sitting there, and I went online, and I said, you know what, I have certifications in other fields, but I want to be certified as a life coach, just so that if people ever ask, you know, I'll have the credentials. And we just went for it. You know, we logged in and, you know, paid the fees or whatever and went through the courses. But I found that life coaching is not about helping people as much as it's about empowering people. And that's really important, because help always implies a deficiency on the person you're working with. You need me because you're not enough. Where wow. Empowerment simply means it's in you. All I'm going to do is show you where the switch is and watch you flip it yourself.
So, wow, that's something else. And you just, like, have them and just dig it out of them and let them and reveal it to them. Say, this is your purpose, and let them kind of self realize who they are.
Exactly. See, what I do is I ask a lot of questions. I mm-hmm. ask the questions that they're either confused or not courageous enough to ask themselves. I ask them why. So when someone comes to me and says, hey, I've coached people that wanted to lose weight to people who were going through nasty divorces. So when they start talking about what they want, before we get into what you want, let's talk about where you are and let's do an autopsy on where you are to find out what you contributed to get you where you are, because today is simply a report card of what you did last year. Mm-hmm. So I help people eliminate and get through the blame game and come out of excuse land so that they can own their own lives, because you can't change your life until you own where you are. That means it's not my father's fault. It's not the cat's fault. It's not my uncle's fault. It's me. Once we get, and that takes time, Tim, to get clients to that point. And we haven't even talked about nutrition or diets if they're trying to lose weight or if I'm working with them to help find a different job. We haven't even looked at the one ads. Let's deal with you, because until you're whole, and whole simply means nothing missing, nothing broken, until you're whole, you shouldn't be going into another job. You shouldn't be going into another relationship, because it's just going to be another cover-up to keep you from the real you.
Well, so how you kind of tell the person how to deal with that fear? Because, sometimes people have this fear of stepping out. And go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You can finish.
Yeah, it is. I mean, some people really know what their purpose is, but they have this fear. You know, like, for example, I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, well, I know my purpose, and I had to convince my wife what my purpose is, and she gets on me, and, and I'm just scared to take that leap of faith. I know that's my purpose. I know that's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm passionate about it, but I'm just afraid.
That's another great question, and I deal with that on a daily basis with clients, Tim. The first thing I do is I teach them what fear really is. Fear is neither good nor bad. It's simply an indicator that something new is happening, that something new has been introduced to your environment, and you should take notice of it. So when we understand it from that, it removes the complexity from it. And mm-hmm. I love what former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, says in his book about leadership. He said, courage is never the absence of fear. He learned what courage was when he watched firemen from New York and policemen from New York run towards what was making everyone else run away from. And he mm-hmm. realized these guys are scared out of their lives. But their purpose, they know their assignment is more important than the fear that they're currently feeling. And when you get to the place where staying where you are is more dangerous than the fear of what you could get into, you'll start moving. And it's kind of that seed process. We all know that, when a seed goes in the ground, it gets covered with dirt. And that's where the mystery starts. That's as far as we know. We're standing on the outside waiting for it to pop up. But what's happening on the inside is there's a complete nervous breakdown, a systematic breakdown of the whole entire being of that seed that's saying, you know what, I'm too contained. I can't exist in this restriction any longer. And it just starts pushing in every direction, and that's where we see the sprout. What I work with clients is to help them get so much inner empowerment that it begins to put pressure on where they are, where they start going home and saying, you know what, this isn't enough. You know, they're going to work and they're sitting there looking at their job and saying, man, I'm meant for more. The discovery of what you're meant to do mm-hmm. is the release of fear that you need. Because abuse, the word abuse by its Latin origin, simply means abnormal usage. Abuse is abnormal usage. So anytime you're abnormally using yourself in a position, in a relationship, in a situation, you're literally abusing yourself. And all you need for abuse is more information. Once you get that information, you finally know what you're supposed to do, and nothing can stop you.
Wow. Well, what we're going to do is going to take a station break real quick and come back and dive into your 31 days. And if you can read, like, the foreword or passage out of that when we end the program, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. In fact, what I'll do is I'll read the one for today.
Okay, no problem. Give me 1 second. We're going to go ahead and play a commercial from the sponsor, and we will come back with Room for Greatness.
Not a problem.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
I'm back with Early Jackson with Groom for Greatness, 31 Days Through an Empowered Life. Okay, I guess we can start with, let's talk about your book. If you can go ahead and maybe just read the foreword, and then we just dive into the book itself.
Sure. This book actually doesn't have a foreword, Tim, but I would like to take a second and explain why I why I put this book together. I've been a student of self-help, I mean, since the days when Tony Robbins was a real skinny guy with a funny haircut, you know. So I've been around, you know, the self-help when Les Brown was just getting started and things like that. And one of the things that I've always loved about self-help was, of course, the information. The thing that frustrated me about it was always so massive. It was in a big book or a big manual, or you had to go to a seminar to get it. And I used to put out a biweekly blog for my clients and others that wanted to read it. And someone kept saying, you should put a collection of your best blogs together so that we can just have them as a reference. And I said, that's an idea. But I wanted more than a reference. I wanted something quick enough where people could take a glance at it, but also impactful enough where they'd want to read the next day. So Groom for Greatness, 31 Days to an Empowered Life, is a self-help calendar of sorts. It's set with a spiral binding at the top, so you can set it on your desk. I had a lady buy two of them, one for her side of the bed and one for her husband's, you know. And it's, yeah, because we need help sometimes. But it's short enough where you could take 4 minutes and read the whole entire information for that day. But within each one of those days, there's an action plan, because people need a takeaway of what to do next. So that's why I put it together. And to read an excerpt, since today is the 12th of April, I'll read day 12. The title is Real Life Transformation Begins at the Doorstep of a Tough Decision. A decision is defined as a process of consideration and deliberation that arrives to a final conclusion. That's interesting considering the fact that our society is one of severe indecisiveness. We go back and forth about so many things that this causes a lack of closure. When you're looking to exceed in greatness, you must be a person who can step over the threshold of decisions. Without it, you are living in life's hallways. At some point, you'll be presented with a choice to hang where you are or take a major step into transformation. Everything in you will be screaming, "Don't move." Why? Because humanity lives and thrives on the familiar. Even when the familiar is abusive or nonproductive, but a tough decision will break the old cycle of ordinary and push you into the fantastic life of the unknown. Step over today.
Wow. I have a question. You know, back to talking about a person, is there a particular age, number one, that they should know what their purpose is in life? And then number two, in talking about that particular age group, how can a person clear out all the noise so they can hear what their purpose is?
Wow. Let me address the age first, Tim. And it's funny because right now I'm working on putting the finishes touches on my next book, which is called The 10 Biggest Mistakes I Made Before 30 and How to Avoid Them. And it's a rough book to write, not because it's hard to write it, but because I have to narrow down all my mistakes to 10 of the biggest ones. You know, so one thing that my wife always teaches as well, and I hear her say it often, is you're never too old for a turnaround. So regardless of the age, the moment the thought is conceived that there's something bigger, you're about to make a U-turn, which is a great thing. But I would love to put the onus on the parents. As parents, we have to become aware of our purpose so that we can teach to our children about purpose, because you can't teach what you haven't been taught or caught. Mm-hmm. So it's a scary thing to grow up in a house where your parents or no one in the house has an idea or is even in tune with the frequency of purpose. So that's a dangerous thing. But the moment that, you know, thank God for the people that are in their lives, like teachers, counselors, sports coaches, these are the people that usually peak us into our purpose. But it would be an awesome thing if children were born and parents were able to help them develop without overbearing and, you know, kind of living vicariously through them, which is very selfish, but just help navigate them into discovering their purpose for themselves. Because no one can tell you what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
No one can tell. Even if they're right, it's not your purpose until you own it. Something in you has to connect with the reason you're on earth. It's a very personal, very intimate thing where you have to come to knowing, to the knowing of why you're here. And it's so, I get very passionate about this, Tim, because it's so empowering to know that I'm standing on earth for a reason. I'm not just some, you know, nameless, faceless person existing, but I'm here, and when I'm gone, there'll be a legacy about me. That's a powerful thing.
Wow. You know, you have some people who's very fortunate, who's born into great wealth, who's born into royalty, who born with the parents who's going to push them to be what they want them to be and make them own it regardless. And then, you know, later I realize that, no, this is not me, and they peter out. With those particular burdens of life with you, do you, when your client talks about that, hey, I want to push my child to be a senator, a president, and you have people that really groom their children for that particular thing in life, regardless they make them want to do it, and later in life, you know, either they self-destruct, you know, you throw them into the fire, either they burn
mm-hmm.
or they walk straight through it. How do you tell a person like that, you know, hey, this is my child, and, you know, they talk about speaking for their own legacy. What do you say to them and say, hey, maybe you need to let the child choose themselves. Maybe you want to guide them through these different paths, but they shouldn't have to be the way that you want them to be.
You know, years ago, and like I said, I've worked several different types of jobs. Years ago, I was a clinic coordinator for the child psychiatry department at Children's mm-hmm. Hospital in Philadelphia. And one of the things that I saw, without anyone ever telling me, what I saw from the doctors were when the parents had to bring the children to the appointments, of course, because they're minors, you know, they're kids. But the parents were always asked to sit in on the sessions. And as the sessions would run, the questions and the challenges and the analysis would turn to the parent. Because if I heal this child, if this child gets a breakthrough and goes home and you don't know how to manage that, then this is just going to be an elongated process. So I took a page from that and realized that when you're dealing with people's kids, especially as when I was a pastor in church, I would minister and work with the parents and help them understand what happened to them. Because I guess I'm just kind of gullible like this, Tim, but I believe that when people know better, they do better. You know, mm-hmm. most people aren't aware of the dysfunction they're inflicting on their family. But when they become aware of it, they start to work to counter that activity. So when parents know what their purpose is, it's contagious. It spreads. It begins to be the conversation in the house. Well, how do you feel about that? And then I teach parents, and it's something I'm learning myself because I've always wanted my boys to be very athletic because I wasn't. It was just a passion I had. I wanted to be on the baseball field with them, you know, and cheering them on. But my boys love to sing. Both of my boys are active members of the Philadelphia Boys Choir. They've traveled. I mean, they've had some tremendous experiences with this choir. But here lately, both of them are expressing interest in other things. So I asked them, well, why would you want to do that? Because I want to help them think for themselves. If it's because of someone else, I want to help them understand why that's important to not do things just because everyone else is doing them. But if it's something that they genuinely want to do, then I encourage them. I mean, we invest the money, whatever we need to do, but we want you to actually fulfill your purpose.
Absolutely. With New Direction Coaching Associates, why did you decide to launch it?
Wow. We launched, and actually my wife and I, Cherise, launched New Direction Coaching Associates as an extension to help become that Walmart of empowerment.
Okay.
And I'll explain. We won't have greeters at the door. But
I think they got rid of the greeters, right?
Did they? That was always my favorite part.
I saw it in the news a month ago. I think they were telling some of the greeters they don't need them.
Oh, man, I'm starting a Facebook petition today. Bring back the greeters. You know? But we want it to be an environment, an incubator, where you came and you got from front to back empowerment, whether your empowerment needed consisted of developing a nutrition plan. We wanted to be that place where we had the access and the resources to show you not only how to change your weight, but how to maintain it. If it was a career change you were trying to do, we want to be the stop that you make that not only empowers you and tells you from the inside you can do it, but we equip you with resume writing and we equip you with interview skills. It has an extension for youth mentoring. I'm working with the Junior Achievement here in Virginia because I want to be more than just something that was very isolated, where people come, they get the empowerment and go home. I wanted to have the resources to send them out full, to send them out healthy, mentally and physically, so that they could maintain what they're doing. Because for me, the best referral I could ever get is when someone says, I saw what happened to so-and-so, and I need that to happen for me.
Wow. Talk about the range of services that you normally offer.
Sure. Well, like I said, we're pretty much a one-stop shop. We offer multiple types of coaching. My personal background is in transition and adjustment specialist.
Okay.
I work with people in any range of transition, whether it's transitioning from a cubicle to the corner office or out of the corner office into your own business. Like I said, I've worked with individuals who wanted to lose weight that were going through relationship issues, or just wanted to, as we talked about earlier, find their purpose. My wife, her specialty is in leadership and strategic planning. So she works with clients that are, you know, really dealing with HR-type issues, conflict resolution, time management. And we kind of married both of those services together so that we could offer whatever your empowerment need is, there's a coaching track that we have for it, and a lot of that information is on our website as well, the different types of special packages that we offer.
Okay. What about your particular coaching style? Is it more of an academic, or is it more of filling to meet the needs of that particular customer? Some people can read stuff. Some people can hear stuff. Some people have to feel it.
My niche is heart and head. I really tend to focus on people's heart and their head because I find that whatever you're living is a byproduct of what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart is literally the breeding ground for the lifestyle that we're going to have. So if there's some hurt, some dysfunction, some grief, some anger, that's going to affect our living. My wife, she deals more with the hands. The things that are tangible, the strategies, the plannings, the holding people extra accountable. You know, not that I don't, but in her coaching sessions, there's usually a different need. So we tailor it to as we interview clients and decide whether to go in and, you know, coach them, because every time it's not a great fit. So there has to be a personality connection, because you can't coach anyone. You have to coach people who feel comfortable with you. So, you know, I'm very
quick to be coachable.
Exactly. And sometimes people are coachable, Tim. They're just not you're just not their style of coach. So between the two of us, if it's not a good fit, we, you know, tell them we're very open and honest up front and say, hey, not sure if you're going to really get your needs met with us. So, you know, they can move on. But if there's a good fit, we just launch right in. We develop a strategy for them at the beginning, and we try to limit coaching to about 3 months at a time. Because anything beyond that, we're really just being you're really just paying for a companion at that point. You know, 3 month rotations are usually a good gauge, and everything is very we monitor and measure. There's metrics involved that we once we get to that goal. Okay, thank you. It was great working with you. And then as your needs change, you may need to come back for a tweak here or there, but that's generally how we do it.
Wow. Okay. So once they get to this particular level, do you normally design another course for them or say, hey, since you're at this level, and, for example, if it's business or something like that, you worked on that person, do you kind of advise them to move to a different level or in another direction that's going to help them business-wise? That's making sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Really depends on the individual, Tim, because like I said, we don't start coaching until specific goals are established. What are we shooting for? We just don't want to, you know, people, and they hear that, and there's a lot of, because of reality TV and other shows, there's a lot of, the spotlight is on the coaching industry. So when people find out you're a coach, sometimes they go, oh, I need a coach. Not really, not all the time. You know, but if they do, after we go through our assessment, if they need a coach, we'll coach them. But we set these very hard goals and these deadlines and say, okay, at the end of the first month, we want to be in this area. If we're not, then we reevaluate it. We evaluate it on a month-by-month basis. But at the end of that three-month process, we want to be here. If they're there before the 3 months, then we can terminate the coaching early. If they're not, we do an assessment. We set an assessment at the 90-day mark to really evaluate, okay, if you didn't get there, how close were you and what happened? And we, like I said, we do that autopsy and we cut it open and we just look at the raw data of it and see, okay, was it a lapse in my coaching or was it the fact that you didn't do the follow-up and the homework that we assigned? And then we reconcile those two things. If it's on us, then we extend the coaching and try to figure out what's going on. If you didn't do the homework, then you have some decisions to make because maybe I'm not motivating you enough.
Okay. So how do you, at the very end of the day, if you left with someone this particular goal, this is where you bring them into the 3 months, how do you normally end that particular session? To, like, for example, hey, now you have your wings. How do you smoothly say, hey, now you have your wings. Now it's time for you to move forward on your own?
We end it the same way we started it, Tim.
Okay.
We start every coaching relationship with a series of questions. Like I said, I'm the why guy. We get into why this, why that. We really go 5-6 layers deep. At the end, when we've reached the goals that you set, I'd have probably about a 30-minute conversation with you. And I'd ask you a bunch of questions because I still have the paperwork from the beginning. And I'd say, okay, you said you wanted such, 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 such. What I've noticed over the last 3 months is this, this, and this. Would you agree that you're where you said you were, where you wanted to be? And I'd let you talk, and you'd answer those questions. And I'd say, okay, based on the achievements and the goals that you set before you, it looks like you're right where you need to be. Here's some outsourcing resources for you. I do a bi-weekly call, kind of like a tune-up for people. It's called the Empowerment Circle. You can join in on that. You can be on my email list, and you know you can get access to my blogs and dialogue with me through that. Or if there's need for a quick checkup or something, we can always schedule that, and that's very, very low monetary investment for previous clients. To keep you kind of tweaked. It's kind of like going to a chiropractor. They get your alignment back on, but every now and then you do something, tweak it, and you need to go back and get realigned. That's kind of the relationship we have after that, unless there's another change in your life. And you say, okay, last time we worked on my business, I see some personal things going on. I may need to go. And we start like I've never met you. We start with a lot of questions, and because I don't want to assume anything, and we just go from there.
Sure. Okay. How you like to leave with? Any advice you would like to tell our listeners, and then tell us how to contact you?
Absolutely. I think the most powerful thing that I've learned, and as Oprah says, this is what I know.
Mm-hmm.
I love when she says that. Yes, I'm a guy that watches Oprah. You got me. But one of the most powerful things, lessons that I've learned in my life that's really held me accountable is owning where I am. And it's a quote that I use quite often. You can make excuses or you can make history, but you can't do both. You can make excuses or you can make history, but you cannot do both. So every morning I get up, I have to make a decision. Is today the day I want to make excuses, or do I want to go to bed tonight with the satisfaction that I've made some type of history today? And that keeps me aligned. It keeps me in my groove, in my flow, because I'm a firm believer, Tim, life has a rhythm to it. When you get in rhythm, nothing can stop you. So I just live like that, and that's every day. It's not as successful as I'd like, but I can get up the next morning and try it again.
Wow. And how you like to be remembered 100 years from now?
Wow. How would I like to be remembered? Oh, wow. That just – I love a question that shakes me to my core, Tim. That was – wow, I heard an echo on that one. I would like to be remembered as a guy who didn't care who got the credit as long as somebody was helped.
Wow.
I mean, it's credit is so overrated. You know, I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing to be recognized. But at the end of the day, I just want people to be better. After being around me, I want people to be better than they were before they got around me, whether it's standing in line with me at a bank or coming to one of my seminars or speaking engagements. I just want people better, and I could care less who gets the credit.
Amen. How can they contact you?
The easiest way is my website, which is earlyjacksoncoaching.com. And I always spell early because people say, well, early like early in the morning. Yep, just like that, E-A-R-L-Y, earlyjacksoncoaching.com. If they're on Facebook, they can just look up Life Coach Early Jackson. My page is there. I keep my public page filled with my speaking engagements, different interviews I'm doing, and a lot of specials that I don't offer on the website. I'll put a blog out on Facebook and say, hey, for the next 2 days, I'm discounting 2 books and the CD for this amount.
Okay. Perfect. And the telephone number for – is that telephone number on the website?
It is on the website. But if they're on the East – well, it's not a 1-800 number, but it's area code 757-962-5800. And I'll repeat that, 757-962-5800.
Great. I really appreciate you coming to the program today, and we'll put the information out, but thank you so much. And you, I mean, it's a lot of wealth of information that you shared with us today, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tim, meeting you and talking with you. And you got a new fan now, man. I'm going to definitely be checking you out.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Again, thank you, Early Jackson.
My pleasure, Tim.
Okay, take care.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Early Jackson, Groom for Greatness, 31 Days to an Empowered Life. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blogcast Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.